Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Morning. Oh, good morning. It's a Friday. It's a football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. Great to be along. It's like a, it's kind of a stress-free football Friday here this morning, right? The Bills don't have to win. They're not like, oh my God, they're playing for going to the playoffs. You know, it's not like last year. Remember last year at this time? I think by, if we remember correctly, on Friday last year going into week 18, Josh, we thought they might have to literally win an in, lose an out. But then by the time we got to Sunday night, they'd clinched the playoffs, but they were still playing for the division. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah. And I remember like how much everyone was worried about the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
That.
Mm-hmm. Man. None of that today.
What a year.
I mean, none of that today. I mean, you're just sitting around today and kicking back and going, all right. The rest of you can play this weekend. Now, it would have been more ideal if the Bills had the number one seed. Of course it would, right? And then you were like, all right, you got this week, you got next week. But you know what? You get a week here to kind of see how things shape up. The only thing we're really watching this week is who the Bills' opponent is going to be. And that starts tomorrow with two games. And then Sunday, obviously the Bills play at 1 o'clock against the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that today as well as a lot more. I have so much. I wrote down like a ton of notes today that I wanted to get to because it's like, it's not like this whole, oh my God, we got to analyze this matchup. There's definitely things to talk about with the matchup, and it's a lot of what I want to get to today. But it's not like a normal Friday during the regular season, whereas you're kind of need to get the win. You know, you're going to LA, going to Detroit, and playing these teams, and what's going to happen? There you go to New England. They might want to lose New England. We're going to talk about all that today on the Football Friday Extra Point Show, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Okay, we are going to have Paul Hamilton at 10:30 on the Sabres. We're going to have Sean McDermott at about 11 a.m. on injuries, a look ahead to New England, how the team will play this, and the regular season finale. Then we'll have Pat Hammer at 11:30. Maybe you're going to New England, Foxborough, Boston, Providence, great cities to hang out in for a couple of days, especially to this week. It looks like it's going to be a little colder, but nice weather this time of year. It's always cool. But definitely got to talk with Pat about next weekend and what's that starting to look like for the Bills' first playoff game here at home. And we'll see who that's going to be against as this weekend unfolds. I hate starting off with negativity. I just don't like negativity anyway in my life. Just try to stay positive. But I mean, as frustrated as you could be watching a last place hockey team that you know is already in last place and it kind of doesn't matter, as frustrated as a team like that can get you with a loss is what I was last night with the Sabres. Went to bed last night, was actually, we were watching TV in the bedroom and I had the game on my laptop because we were watching a movie. I think Castaway was on. My wife was like, yeah, we're watching Castaway, right? And Max, I'm like, Max, you ever see this thing with Wilson? Wilson, you know what Max actually reminded me of? This is amazing, my 11-year-old son. I'm like, you ever see this thing with the volleyball and Wilson? He goes, yeah, Dad, isn't that what the Seahawks did when Russell Wilson left? They did. The Seahawks posted a social media post. Wilson! It was so disrespectful to Russell Wilson. It was amazing. And Max remembered that. He had to be 8 or 9 at the time, right? Whatever. So
That's a great poll. I completely forgot about that.
It was amazing. And we're watching Castaway. I'm like, yeah, right. This is where it came from. And he didn't even know about the Castaway part. He just remembered the social media part. So if you just saw that, you're probably like, what is that? You're some kid. That's kind of weird, right? Anyway, so we're watching Castaway. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch the Sabres game on my laptop while you do that. So she falls asleep. Sabres are up. It's the end of the second. I'm like, all right, this is cool. You know what? I don't want to sit here and have her wake up, so I'm going to go downstairs and turn it back on TV and watch the game. I'll lay on the couch and watch the game. That's what I did last night. Third period, went back downstairs, turned on the TV, watched the rest of the game, and immediately started getting frustrated as soon as the Avs scored. Of course, the Sabres scored right after that. Not too long. Was that the Benson goal, right? And then...
Yeah.
The whole everything with that goal. I mean, that was a wild first 5 minutes of the third period for sure, right? And then as the game goes on, you kept saying again, just don't let this happen again. It could happen again, right? Don't let it happen again. Remember, so December 3rd, what's the tie-in here is December 3rd was when the Avalanche played here. And I remember that because that is my son's birthday. We went to that game with some friends. And it was great. They're up 4-0 and they blew it, right? We know that. Here they are up 3-0. You kept thinking, well, okay, it's the Avs. They can't let this happen again, right? Bam, it happens again. I know it's a Buffalo Football Friday. We're going to talk a lot of football today. We're going to talk to Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour. But folks, last night, that was as frustrated as I could be. And maybe you, maybe you just don't care and you're checked out. I totally get it. As frustrated as anyone could be about a last place team playing a game, a non-conference game, and losing and getting a point is how I was last night. Went to bed mad. Don't go to bed mad. It's not a good thing.
The flip side of this that's even more frustrating in my opinion, they have 7 of the last 10 points. If they had played at that pace for most of the season so far, we'd be having a completely different conversation.
Even if they blow it last night... That way, you're like, okay, that happens sometimes.
Right.
Right?
Seven times this season.
And you have to get 2 every game here now if you want to at least give yourself a chance to climb back into anything, right? You got to give yourself 2, and you can't just hit 1. And that's what they did last night, and they get the 1 point. Oh, my God.
I saw a stat last night. There's been 9 times the Sabres have chased a starting goalie this year, and they're 2-7 in those games, counting last night.
Wow. Well, so, I don't think he was chased last night, but yes.
He was, I think.
No, he was hurt.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Okay, fine. The starting goalie leaves the game.
I got you. That's fine. That's still, fine. I get it. I just want to make the difference. But you're right. Yes. Right.
But regardless, yes. That's still a terrible record.
That's right.
In a game where you score enough goals where the goalie gets pulled.
Yes. How about Jason Zucker, though? Can we at least give him a little bit of love here?
I'm getting a Zucker jersey, regardless of what happens this year.
Yeah.
He's been awesome.
And he's only on a 1-year deal, right? It's a 1-year deal. So, I mean, he really helps this team. Yeah, he was fantastic last night. It's just so... just sucks to waste that. What a night. What a performance. Hat trick. 4 points, and you waste that. You know? Unbelievable. Six seconds left. Oh, my God.
He hit 400 points last night in his career, too.
Yeah, we should be celebrating that today with a nice win. But instead, it's, well, here we go again. I don't know. Anyway, that's as frustrated as you could be for a last-place team playing a non-conference game and getting a point. That's where I was last night. All right, so enough on that. We'll get with Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour. Today is the anniversary of the greatest comeback in NFL history. Now, I still call it the greatest comeback in NFL history. I think it's still known as, to a lot of people, the greatest comeback in NFL history, although it is no longer the actual largest deficit ever overcome. If you remember, 2 years ago, Kirk Cousins, of all quarterbacks, led the Minnesota Vikings from 33-0 down to come back against the Colts. You remember that? Bills were down 32 points, 35-3. The Vikings were down 33-0. However, that was a regular season game. And this was obviously the Bills game was a wild card game. Your season is on the line. Your season is over. And the way it started in the second half, Bubba McDowell going back for the interception. I'll still call it the greatest comeback. That's fine. Total respect if anybody says it's really not. I get it. We're parsing things. It's not the largest comeback ever overcome. But to me, it's still the greatest comeback given the circumstances that were happening. Joe was funny this morning. I was listening to Sneaky Joe. He said, yeah, I was there. Joe wasn't even born yet. But he was making a point because everybody says they were there. I was not there. And I say that not pridefully, believe me. Like, I would love to have been there. But of the Bills' entire, like, playoff runs starting in 1988, and I'm talking about when they had their first playoff game ever at then-Rich Stadium, that was against the Oilers before the comeback. That was a few years before that. Starting with that year, I went to all but two home playoff games from 88 through 93, the Super Bowl years. I went to the 88 game against the Oilers. That's the one. Steve Tasker at the end. There's always a great memory for each game. Anyway, I'm opening up. I want you to kind of, were you at the game? You want to talk about it? I'd love to hear a couple stories from people because there are so many stories out there. And yes, a lot of people say, I was there when you weren't. People were talking about climbing back into the game and going over the fence and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, if you got a cool story you want to share, feel free today. 803-0550. I'd like to do that because it's just kind of a cool Friday here where we don't have to stress about the Bills game, although there is a game. We're going to get to that. But this is, I think, a day to remember something like that because it's the anniversary of it. And if you have a story you'd like to share about the greatest comeback in NFL history, the Bills win over the Oilers in the 92 playoffs, January of 93, call me up at 803-0550. So 1988, the Bills play the Oilers. That's Steve Tasker forces a fumble on Curtis Duncan at the end of the game, who Curtis Duncan, I believe, was Steve Tasker's roommate at Northwestern. I'll have to ask Steve on that. I think he said something like that at the time, or in years past. So I'd have to check on that. Bills win that game. 89, they do not get a playoff game at home. That's when they go to Cleveland and lose. That's the Ronnie Harmon drop at the end of the game. So 90 starts the Super Bowl run. They beat the Dolphins in the divisional round. That's in the snow, 44-34. Kelly Marino, great game. I was there for that one. The next week, that's 51-3. That's the biggest party ever. That is one of my greatest memories ever as a sports fan on any level. Might be the greatest. Being in that stadium, 51-3, when it was 41-3 at halftime, and you know they're going to the Super Bowl. It was unbelievable. It was a party for a whole half. And people chanting, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Thank you, Bills. And even, thank you, Ralph. So you beat the Dolphins, you beat the Raiders. I'm at both those games. They obviously go to the Super Bowl, lose to the Giants. The next year is the 91 season. They get the Chiefs at home. That's Steve DeBerg in that game. 37-14. They just crush the Chiefs. Then they get the Broncos, and that is the Carlton Bailey interception return. They win 10-7. And I don't know if people remember this, but the Bills didn't play that great that game as indicated by the score, like offensively, but the Broncos missed like two field goals. three field goals. I think they missed three field goals in that game, if I remember right. David Treadwell was their kicker. Broncos should have beaten the Bills that day. They didn't. I was at that game. So I'd been to every game. And then, of course, 92 comes along. And here's what happened for me. Bills are playing the Oilers. They don't win the division. They have to go play the wild card round. And here, I'm a college student. I'm like, look, I've gone to every playoff game so far. It's great to go to the games. But I've seen them win these games. And if they win, they move on anyway. And they have two more to play. If they lose, I don't want to be there while they lose. So I didn't go to the game. So my buddies and I went to watch the game. Remember, it was not on local TV because it wasn't sold out in time, but there were places you could go to watch, like today's world, right? You can go to watch certain things when they're not supposed to be on TV. And there was this sports bar that we went to. I think it was over near the Eastern Hills Mall. We go over there. We're watching it. And I remember eating wings and playing darts, and the Bills are getting killed, and we're just like, having a good time with my friends. This sucks. Season's going to be over. Okay, let's think about next year. All of a sudden, Kenny Davis scores. You're like, woo, almost making fun of it. Like, right. Yeah, okay, guys, way to go. Kenny Davis scored. Then they get the onside kick. Then they score again. You're like, ooh, start thinking about what's going on here. And, of course, then it just snowballs from there. And people had left the sports bar. We're still there. We're enjoying it. It was incredible. The largest comeback, greatest comeback in NFL history happens. Bills then go on the road to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers the next week, on the road to beat the Miami Dolphins in the championship game, and then, of course, losing the Super Bowl to the Dallas Cowboys. The next year, they're back at home again. Again, second time, I didn't go to a game. I didn't go to the one against the Raiders. That was the divisional round. They win 29-23, one of the coldest days in games ever at then-Rich Stadium. And again, speaking of Steve Tasker, remember what happened in this game? There was a, like, onside kick or something. Steve Tasker, like, took the ball and got it from I think it was the kicker for the Raiders might have even slipped. It was icy. It was a big play in the game. Bills win 29-23. But I did go to the following week. That was Joe Montana. I think I have Montana and DeBerg the right ones here, right? Let me see. Montana. Oh, Dave Craig. It was, yes, Montana and then Dave Craig. Montana gets knocked out of the game. Bruce Smith, I think, sacked him. Montana, that was not his last year. I know there's been a lot of, like, over the years, people say, yeah, the Bills knocked out Joe Montana his final game and last year in the playoffs. That was not that season. It was he played another year. So the Bills win that game. But anyway, those are the two games I did not go to. The greatest comeback, and then the following year at home against the Raiders. How about you? 803-0550 is the number to call here if you'd like to share a memory about the greatest comeback in NFL history, which happened 32 years ago today. Let's go to Mary Jo in Tonawanda. Hi, Mary Jo. Good to hear from you.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
First of all, I'm 75 years old, but I can remember that game like it was yesterday.
That's great.
I was at the game with three friends, two cousins and a friend, because my husband didn't want to go, and they wanted to leave. And I said, look, I'm driving. You guys want to go leave? That's great, but I'm staying. And I was never so happy that I stayed at a game, and I can still remember it to this day, the feeling that I had. It was so exciting. I'll tell you, that stays in your heart, and you remember those memories. It's incredible. I mean, I was at some of the other games and all the other games you mentioned, but I can't remember them like I could this one.
Let me ask you two questions. Number one, Mary Jo, did your friends still leave or did they stay with you?
They stayed with me because I was driving.
I love that. That's great. Hey, they should be thanking you for the rest of your life. Every year you should get like a big package of wine or something from all your friends. Number two, where did you sit? Where were your seats?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Probably around... If I can remember, we had season tickets for a while.
Were you up top or down low or what?
No, I was pretty low. I was probably on the second tier, probably on the 30-yard line. It was a great seat.
It
was fabulous.
Thank you.
And I went to three Super Bowls.
Oh man. Wow.
And I'll never forget the feeling of walking out of those three Super Bowls. I do not want to feel like that ever again.
I hear you, Mary Jo. I was at the Cleveland playoff game that they lost. At the end, Ronnie Harmon dropped the pass, and I agree with you. And I remember people in Cleveland, fans coming up to me. I'm a teenager with my buddies and getting in our face and telling us to take the 90 home and blah, blah, blah. It was just, oh, man, it was terrible. Mary Jo, thank you very much for the phone call. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You got it. You got it. Great memory right there. Let's go to Scott. It was a very different memory. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, my goodness. We had the most incredible seats for the comeback game. 200 section under the heat. My brother-in-law worked with the media in New York City, so we got comped these awesome seats. First half was just horrible. My wife wanted to leave. I said, well, let's see. They get the ball at the kickoff second half. Let's see what they do with it. First pass, interception. They run in for a touchdown. I pick up on my stuff, and I turn to my brother-in-law. I said, well, you know what? I hope we miss the biggest comeback in Buffalo history.
And it happened. Yeah, well, you did.
We had a long walk to the car way out in the parking lot. The closer and closer we got to the car, the louder and louder the stadium got.
Oh, wow. And you didn't turn back like a lot of people and go back in, because the story is security said just let them back in because people were climbing the fences, and Ralph's like, no, just let them back in. Don't let them climb the fences. You didn't go back in then.
I wanted to go back in, but at the time we were living in central New York, in Rome, New York, just past Syracuse.
So we had
quite a long drive home, and it's like, let's just go home. And just before Steve Christie kicked the winning field goal, we pulled off into a rest stop, grabbed a beer. We were holding hands. They win the game. We snapped the beers, and we celebrated.
I love it, Scott. Thank you very much for the memory. That's awesome. I hope you still have that ticket stub. Because that back then, you still actually had paper tickets, you know? Mark on a cell phone. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you.
You too, buddy.
I just wanted to say that I just think the impact that Frank Reich has had on the area because of that game has just been unbelievable. I don't know if he still does it. I think he does. The Athletes in Action.
He does.
Breakfast.
Yes, he does.
And what he does. I just think that was so cool. I remember going there as a high schooler.
I believe they call it the Call to Courage now, I think is what it's called.
Call to Courage Award. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's awesome. I just think it's amazing. He's a backup quarterback. I mean, how cool is that they're still that big of an impact? But
For sure.
Another thing to bring up with you is if the Dolphins release Calais Campbell, I would love to bring him in to hopefully stop Derrick Henry. And then I want to know what you think about moving Colt Bishop up to that Jordan Poyer, like hybrid linebacker / state cover guy. I think he's been playing way better than he did against the Texans. I don't think he's that far off from DeMar Hamlin. I'm going to have to listen to you, Sal.
Yeah, thank you. I got it, Mark. I'll touch on both these points. Number one, if Calais Campbell does get released, which could happen after this weekend if the Dolphins get eliminated, they're allowed to do that. He is subject to waivers. At this time of year, everybody, no matter how many years in the league, you have to go through waivers. I would think the Ravens would want him before the Bills because he's played for them. He might want to go there. I don't know. Could that possibly be someone the Bills could target? Sure, but you'd have to put a waiver claim in, and another team would have a priority. The Bills have one of the lowest rate waiver claims because of their record. And then if no one claims him, then he becomes a free agent and he gets to choose where he wants to go based on his suitors. Cole Bishop, I would not be surprised if you see something like that, Mark, to be honest with you. I agree with you. I like the way he's played the last few weeks. I think there could be a role for him. What that role is, I'm not sure. I don't know if the team would consider really starting him outright over DeMar Hamlin based on the fact that DeMar has done a nice job. He's been part of a unit that really just has kept things in front of them this year, which is his job, but I could see the case being made for that. All this, by the way, thank you to all of the calls, is getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jim and Clarence, what's up, Jim?
Hey, Sal, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, I got a little story about the greatest comeback game. I was a young airman. I was 18 years old down at Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas. I'd rented a little 14-inch TV to watch the game on. I was the only Bills fan in my room. I was surrounded by Houston fans, eight other guys. All game long, they kept, oh, the game's over, the game's over. Kelly's out. Reich, he's no good. The game's over. I said, it's not over. It's not over. I knew the power of the Bills defense or offense back then. And I tell you, when they started coming back, kept saying the big game ain't over. Game ain't over. When they finally won the game, I said, now the game's over. Now get the heck out of my room.
I love it. I love it. You had the last laugh there, buddy. Thank you. That is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. Yeah. And thank you. You said you were in the military at the time, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for your service, too, Jim. Thanks for calling, buddy. You got it.
Not a problem. You take care.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Dan in North Carolina. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sal. Just calling with my story from the game.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like a million people, right? I was there. My brother-in-law bought tickets at Tops, They were virtually free because at that point we're jaded, right?
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah.
Don't care it anymore. So we went, I swear to God, we're literally first row, damn near midfield.
Wow.
And if you remember the videos, the highlights after the game, at the end there was these guys dressed as nuns that were sitting next to us.
I do remember that because I remember Todd Christensen making some sort of remark on the color commentary as they were showing them on television.
Right on. They're holding a sign up that says, I ain't seen
the fat lady singing. That's right. Yep.
So I'm sitting right next to those guys.
Are you in the shot on TV?
I lean into it. Where I lean into it, you can, like, my dad saw my face.
Love it.
Now, so I'm early 20s on.
Oh, man.
So my brother-in-law buys the tickets for the game. We go. Obviously, we're getting handled terribly. We're literally in the bathroom as the second half starts, taking a leak, and they score. Houston scores, and I'm like, Wayne, let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, man.
I'm not leaving. We bought these tickets. Dude, I'm not that guy to scream and yell at a game, whatever, but just screaming at the top of my lungs with 80,000 defense. I mean, at the end of the game, and just something I'll never, ever forget being part of, man.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you know the other thing I remember about the broadcast? Pretty sure. This is, I got to go make sure I'm not, because they all run together. I'm getting older. I think O.J. Simpson was the sideline reporter during that game. Pretty sure he was. I am pretty sure he was. I have to go back and check on that. That's right. He was doing work on NBC at the time. Let's go to Ray on a cell. What's up, Ray?
Well, I have a different take on it because in those days, the games were blacked out, if you remember.
Well, that one was because they didn't sell it out. That's correct. In time.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. And I have a friend in New Jersey that taped it for me and sent it to me. And to this day, I still have that VHS tape. And every now and then, I pop it in. And you know what? You inspired me to go back and look at it again because it's a classic, and I've got to convert it over to a disc or something.
Here's a little tip for you. You do not have to do that anymore. It is on YouTube. Just go check it out and watch it to your heart's content, buddy.
Oh, okay.
All right, you got that. Yeah, listen, it's on YouTube. Just go and watch it. You can watch the whole game. You can watch all different parts of it if you want. Watch the highlights, whatever you want to do. And, I mean, not only that, but it's generally getting played like around this time of year all the time on NFL Network. Let's go to Mark down in Coconut Creek. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. Wow, what memories.
Yeah.
Those playing games for a while, man. It's such a quick strike offense we had back then, too, you know. I remember I went with my little brother to that game. I think I was just getting out of college, and he was maybe a teenager, and we were sitting right behind Oilers bench, and I remember Chris Dishman and a couple other guys just kept turning around and giving us the business and dancing and everything. And as the game went on and we start coming back, you know, they weren't dancing so much. They had their hoods up, but we just kept on yelling at them, who's dancing now?
Oh, man. Now? Yeah.
I mean, they could hear us. I mean, we were right
there. Then, I think he's the one after the game, too, who basically he has the famous, I think it was Dishman, in the locker room, there's an Oilers player who said, we all just choked. Ownership, coaches, players, we all just choked. Remember that?
Yeah, and then to top it all off, when the game was over, the people, you know, screaming on the field a little bit, my brother and his buddy got into the Bills equipment, I mean, the Oilers equipment cart and started driving around the field a little bit, and it was hilarious.
Oh, man, wow. Don't know how you pulled that one off.
That all the time, you know. So, So great show, man. And you know, let's take on the Dolphins and let's just end their misery and have a great 2025.
I don't know if I want that. I don't want that for the Bills. That is a division game, man. Division games. Woo! I got more on that in a little while. Thinking about the Ravens as well. Let's get to one more this half hour. We'll get to Paul Hamilton after this. Great, great first segment. Thank you so much for sharing your memories today on the greatest comeback in NFL history. Sean in Tonawanda. Hi, Sean.
Sal, what a pleasure to speak with you once again. You are by far the greatest sideline reporter in America.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. There are many, many great ones, but thank you. What do you got for me, buddy?
Well, you know, my wife and I had season tickets the 4 years during the run, the Super Bowl run. And you're bringing up, you know, you're reminiscing, you're bringing up all these great moments.
Yeah.
And there are so many. You referenced Carlton Bailey's interception, the great comeback game.
Yep.
I mean, all of those, they were so beautiful. We had seats opposite of the tunnel in the end zone. Really cool perspective at the time. And it was just such a great thing. And I'm so happy for the rest of Western New York that now that they can revel in greatness again.
Yeah, so that would have been the tunnel where the Bills scored in the fourth quarter, right? With Andre Reed in the fourth quarter there.
Yeah, and I remember the footprints on the field because there was snow that day. Yeah. I remember Andre coming right at us.
Yeah, you were at, you said you were in the tunnel side. I'm sorry, you said you were on the tunnel side, right, Sean?
No, I'm talking opposite.
Okay, so that's the third quarter. So that's BB. BB scores there. So really, it's Kenny Davis. It's BB. It's Andre. Right, Andre on fourth down. So that one, all those came right at you. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Such amazing.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. I got to run. I got Paul Hamilton coming up. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. Really, really great stuff today. We got a lot more to get to. I got more, and we can continue this too. Whatever you want to do, you can give a call. 803-0550. We will get to Paul Hamilton very quickly on the Sabres last night. Another blown lead to the Colorado Avalanche. They lose it in overtime. But right now it's time for a break, and we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, going to welcome Paul Hamilton in. I texted Paul yesterday before the Sabres played and said, hey, you want to come on at 10:30 tomorrow? He's like, sure. And then that happened last night, and I'm like, oh, I got to talk to Paul about this. So we're going to do that right now here. And, of course, Paul's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, where are you right now?
I am in Denver.
All right, so you are out there. The team, is the team yet in Vegas?
Yeah, they're in Vegas, okay. And then I leave in a little while.
Okay, well, I won't keep you too long because I just need to know what the hell happened again and why does this keep happening, Ball?
It's unbelievable. This should never happen once. Not even once. And
twice.
To happen twice the same team is just mind-boggling. It was just unbelievable. But this one was a little bit different because in the first time, you know, the Sabres didn't have any answers at all.
Yeah.
You know, for Colorado, and Colorado's kept coming back. In this game, Colorado came back, but then the Sabres got a couple of goals. They had some answers. You know, it got to be 3-2 and Benson scores, and that makes it 4-2. And then it got to, you know, be 4-3, and then Zucker scores to make it 5-3. And it's like, okay, you're not just sitting back. At least you're coming back, and so here you are, up 5-3 with about 3 minutes left in the game. And then at 2:26 left in the game, Colorado, you know, their goalies pulled and they score. Makar with an absolute laser from the back end, it somehow got through. There were 9,050 people in front of the net, but somehow the puck made it through. And you're still okay, though. You know, you still got the lead. And there's 2:26 left in the game. What started happening is, you know, 6-on-5, they just kept icing the puck and icing the puck and icing the puck. So you're just daring the Avalanche to score again because you got to win the draw.
Yep.
And then when you win the draw, you got to get the puck out. And, you know, they did that a couple of times. They battled around and maybe got the puck out, or Colorado got a shot or something. But they finally ran out of luck with that too. And it was just the last play was just unbelievable. I was just like, what are you doing? I mean, you've got the leading scorer in the National Hockey League with a puck on the left wall. And Rasmus Dahlin decides he's going to go down on all fours. This isn't Keaton Middleton over there. This is Nate McKinnon. And you basically handed him a perfect opportunity to find his guy. Why are you on all fours? It was astounding. So the Druins in front of the net. Beck Malenstein doesn't come back. He's kind of there, but he's more worried about the puck going back out to the point, and he doesn't collapse back to find Druin, who now is all by himself, And don't you think the guy who now has 50 assists this year in the National Hockey League and the NHL's leading scorer is going to find the open guy standing there? Of course he is. And, you know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has made a lot of big saves in the last three games, including this game. All right, you got a guy in front by himself. I wouldn't have minded a big save there. You know, and as I said, he spent three games making save after save after save. But, you know, I just wouldn't have minded a big save there, which he didn't make. The puck's in the net. Now you're going to overtime. That 7.7 seconds are left now when you've given up your second 6-on-5 goal of the game. Now remember, with about 2.5 minutes left in the game, you had a 2-goal lead. And, you know, now they're pulling their goalie. And it was also another game where the other team had to change goaltenders, and the momentum, Buffalo lost its momentum. And it's amazing how that happens. And for the second time, Buffalo basically let a goaltender stand down there and watch. Now, they did score on him once, but other than that, he basically stood down there for the whole third period and watched the game, because they didn't get much pressure offensively on him. But they did get the one goal on him, which should have been enough to give you a 5-3 lead. And then in overtime, it's like Tage Thompson gets the puck, starts bringing it up. It looks like he's got an outnumbered situation coming up ice. And then he gains the zone, gets in the zone, and then starts going sideways. And it's almost like his brain froze. It was like he didn't make a play. He didn't shoot. He didn't make a pass. He didn't put the puck back so they could change. He just kept going right into the Avalanche guy, who was Taves. And Taves just easily pushed him off the puck and takes off on a breakaway. Now, this is a defenseman, by the way, who has 2 goals this year, now 3. And I have to have a big save from my goaltender. I have to have a save. He has to stop that breakaway. Devin Taves cannot score on him. I understand that Tage Thompson should not have given the puck away, but if you want to be a goalie that can win a championship for your team, I have to get a save there. This isn't Makar coming down on you. And no, it's a goal, and there you go. And it's just unbelievable. And I just shake my head, because that, as we said to start this should never happen once. And it happens twice to the same team. And it's just absolutely unbelievable.
You've talked about their mental toughness before. Is that what happens at the end of these games? It's not even the first. It's not even these two games. They've blown other leads, not even these, because these were the most pronounced, obviously, 4 goals and 3 goals against the Avalanche. But it just feels like when the times get tough late in the game, they don't have the right people or mentality to make sure they close it out.
Yeah, and this wasn't like the other one where they just sat back
right for
two periods. They didn't do that. But this one was 6-on-5. They just couldn't play 6-on-5. Dylan Cousins and Matias Samuelsson were on the ice for 4 goals against last night. 4. Thompson and Power were on for 3. And, you know, you just can't let that happen to yourself. Now, there were other things that moved into this. They hadn't taken a penalty all game, and they took one late in the second period, mm-hmm. where they killed it, which meant they had killed 8 of their last 8 penalties. And then in the third period, the parade to the penalty box started again. And you give this team over a minute and a half of a 5-on-3 with MacKinnon and Makar and Rantanen? You can't. You cannot give this team a 5-on-3. You just cannot. And they easily scored. You know, MacKinnon finds Rantanen one time, or it's in the net. I mean, you knew you were giving up a goal there. There was just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, again, that didn't finish them. All right? That happened. But, you know, they were able to come back from it. And, I just don't understand how they take penalty after penalty after penalty after, in a game where they hadn't taken a penalty all game. I mean, Tuck goes at 3:04, Cousins goes 15 seconds later, and Clifton goes 26 seconds after that.
That's just composure, Paul.
Exactly.
It's just composure. You have the game in hand. Don't do anything dumb. There's no reason to do anything dumb, and that's just composure.
Yeah, and that's the word Lindy Ruff used for the 6-on-5.
Right.
He goes, we lost our composure.
I want to ask you, too, and I want to say this. I'm going to be snarky when I say this. Does anyone want to tell me faceoffs don't matter after last night again? Because both goals, the 5-4 goal and the tying goal, literally come within 15 seconds after losing a faceoff.
Yeah, and I don't care if you've won 29 out of 30 faceoffs.
Right.
If you can't win the big faceoff when it really matters, you know, to me, I don't care what you did before that. If you can't win the big faceoff down the stretch, and that's, I think, one of the reasons Cousins was on the ice for some of these goals, because earlier in the game he was doing well with faceoffs. So I think he thought, well, let's put Cousins out there to try to win the faceoff, and it didn't happen. And, you know, it's just there's just sometimes where you just got to say, okay, we're okay. They scored a goal. All right. You know, Makar scored. He's a superstar. Relax. You still have a one-goal lead. So, you know, don't freeze. You know, don't sit there and just keep icing the puck. And the thing is, they looked at an open net for about 2.5 minutes, or maybe even longer, maybe closer to three.
Yeah.
They didn't come close to scoring an open net goal. Not even close. I mean, they didn't really even get any shots at the empty net. I mean, when you have it for that long, and there was one play where they could have finished it, and Rasmus Dahlin has the puck on his stick, and Kulik had just broke it, you know, took off. So Dahlin's in good shape, and all he asked to do, he didn't see Kulik had gotten behind the defense by a step. Dahlin can make that pass in his sleep. He didn't see him, though, and he flips it down and ices it. If he sees Kulik down there and just gets the puck near him where he could catch up to it, get it, there's your empty net goal. And we're talking about something totally different this morning. But he ices the puck. Back they come. Now you got to win another faceoff. Once you win a faceoff, now you got to try to get the puck out. Or see if you can get an empty net goal. And to me, that's inexcusable, too, that you didn't even come close to an empty net goal.
And every time you ice it, you can't change, right? So that hurts. You got these guys on the ice for that long. Paul, I only got like a minute left. Let's end on a positive. How about Jason Zucker's game and the season he's putting together now?
4 points, got the hat trick, and all three goals are right where you're supposed to be.
Yep.
I haven't seen a Sabre as good in front of the net since Sam Reinhart left. He is just money there. Look, did you see the first goal where the puck was, Quinn's pass was coming across and he lifted the car's stick before it got there?
Amazing.
That's a veteran move there. I mean, that's been a great signing for the Buffalo Sabres.
Paul, safe travels to Las Vegas. Sabres play tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy Vegas, and we'll catch you back here. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later.
You got it. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Let's get a couple more of your phone calls in if we can. 803-0550 if you want to talk about the greatest comeback in NFL history anniversary, which is today. And by the way, I was right. O.J. Simpson was on the broadcast. I said that. You found it, right? It wasn't a sideline reporter per se, but he was kind of like,
he was in the post game in the locker room.
But he was in Buffalo on the broadcast. Yep. They brought him in. So that's what I remember, too, about that particular game. In the meantime, lots of things happening this weekend in the NFL we have to touch on. Had some college football going on, obviously. We have down to the Final Four. We got the MVP race and so much more. Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, so I tweeted something out earlier today, and it's gotten a lot of traction from a lot of you. I'm so glad, because there's such a good debate about this. Here's what I wrote, at SalSports on Twitter, /X, by the way. Also, all other social media platforms. YouTube. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel, by the way. That's where you can watch Always Game Day in Buffalo. Me and Matt Bove. Go to SalSports on YouTube. Close to 11,000 subscribers. Let's get that up there. All right, so I wrote, I think there should be an NFL draft lottery. Just not sure the right way to do it. And man, a lot of you agree, a lot of you disagree. I do. I mean, do you know what convinced me? I will tell you what year specifically convinced me there should be an NFL draft lottery. When Peyton Manning had an injury and Andrew Luck was coming out and the Colts said, we're not going to play Peyton Manning, we're getting Andrew Luck. That's what happened. And they tanked. They tanked. It was clear they were going from Manning to Luck, and they're like, we're tanking. That is the year that convinced me this should not happen. It shouldn't be allowed. They're doing it on purpose, obviously. They're not playing Manning on purpose. They're going to play. They're going to get Luck, and they did. That's what convinced me. Very, very good debates. Some said, no, no, no. That would incentivize teams to actually get into the lottery and lose. I respect that point, but if you do it right, it's not. Here's my thing on this, okay? I am just, if you've been listening to me long enough, I've been here 13, 12 plus years now in WGR. If you've been listening to me long enough and going all the way back to then, I've always said this. I am just for anything that takes away an incentive to lose. It's not what sports are about. Do not give teams, organizations, actual incentives to lose. That's why I think there should be a draft lottery. But you could say you could tank to want to get in the lottery. Not if you do it. Right. Okay. So check that out. If you have any thoughts on that, at Sal Sports on Twitter /X. We'll take a timeout. Sean McDermott after this timeout on Bills injuries and a look ahead to their regular season finale against the Patriots on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
They're going to set it at the 22, an attempt of 32 yards for the win.
Only 50% this season from between 30 and 40, as you saw.
It is right down the middle. And again, as we have mentioned time and time again, you are witnessing the greatest comeback in the history of the National Football League, down 32 points with 13 minutes and 19 seconds left to go in the third. And the Buffalo Bills have engineered an unbelievable wild card, come from behind, record-setting wild card playoff victory here at Rich Stadium.
Josh, do you remember Charlie Jones announcing games? Probably before your time, right?
I do, yeah, no. I know his voice, though, like hearing highlights.
Yeah.
Like I can recognize
him. He was one of my favorites growing up. I really liked him. He had that voice that really resonates like that. And kind of, right? It's kinda, and because he was the guy on The Greatest Comeback, you think about it. I was not a big Todd Christensen fan. He was the color analyst that game. 32 years ago today, the Bills completed, at the time, the largest comeback in NFL history. It's still, to me, the greatest comeback in NFL history, given the circumstances and what was on the line. It was a wild card game against the Houston Oilers. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on WGR. And, of course, it is a Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott shortly. We'll talk about what the plan might be as far as injuries are concerned and players and balancing the rest versus rust and things like that. And obviously only so many people that you can call up from the practice squad. Lots of stuff to kind of get into with that and to see what Sean is going to say about that and where some injuries stand heading into the game on Sunday. And of course, a look ahead to the New England Patriots. Plus some, I don't know, what else? I mean, got Pro Bowl stuff. It's one of those days you can kind of just ask Sean a little bit of anything, I guess, because it's like, okay, well, you got this game, then you got next week. And, you know, he did say on Wednesday, I thought it was really interesting and revealing, and I'm glad that he did say this. And this is not unique to a coach. Like, it's not like he's the only one or the only organization doing it. But he did say, when asked, like, how are you preparing for your possible wildcard matchups? And he did say, look, throughout the year, you have advanced scouts. You have an advanced staff, which means you look at teams that you're going to play down the road and you do some scouting. And they're doing that with their three possible opponents. So it's not like suddenly on Sunday night, it's like, oh, my God, we're playing the Broncos. Get everything together. Or, oh, my God, we're playing the Bengals or Dolphins. It's not going to happen like that. The Bills are going to be very well prepared for whichever team they're going to face a week from either tomorrow or Sunday, which we don't know when that schedule will be. And then they'll get into all their meetings on Monday and Tuesday, and the coaches and the players come back and they'll present their game plan. They'll be fully prepared for that. So interesting, though, I think that, you know, he said that and revealed that, which was good to hear, I think, for a lot of fans who might be wondering about how all of that works. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Yeah, 32 years ago today, the greatest comeback in NFL history. So many people said they were there. So many people will tell you they were there. And they might have proof, because back then you didn't have, like today, with putting your ticket in your wallet on your phone, your iPhone. Beep, beep, just click it, right? I miss those days of paper tickets. I miss those days.
I have a ton of them, like, tacked up on my wall. Like, you know, like the pennants?
Yeah,
I do. Every game I would go to, I would tack the ticket up on the wall underneath the pennant from that season, because I'd get a pennant each year.
That's cool. You know, that's a really good idea. It was, for me, I save, like, I would save things like that when I was younger, but I don't really have many of that anymore. I must have thrown them all out or whatever. Something happened. But I have all, like, my credentials over the years. Every game that I've been the sideline reporter for, whether it's preseason or regular season, I have my credential is saved, because each stadium is different. They give you one. You get it from, you know, security, Bills PR, and the Bills, you know, broadcast team, the people I get it from that take care of that. And we, the Bills Radio Network, I have a separate credential for every game. And some are like, they're rainy games, and it's like, oh my God, it's falling apart. It's interesting. Some are more hard, some are more soft. But what I do is at the end of the season, I take that particular year and put it all together in one folder, kind of. So I have everywhere from 2014 was my first year on the sidelines till now, and 11 years of just all of those credentials, which is really cool. But back in the day, speaking of these tickets, the coolest though, Josh, was, and people can relate to this listening right now, when you went to the odd and you had a ticket to go to the game, your ticket was the color of where you were sitting. The gold, the red, the blue, or the orange, going from low to high. So if you were sitting in the reds, you had a red ticket for the game. You'd go and you hand it in, you'd walk through the turnstile, they would rip it in half, give you the other half. It wasn't even like a stub, it was literally ripped in half. You'd take the half, and then you'd go home and you'd have different colored tickets for the Sabres games.
That's really cool. I remember they used to do, for certain games, they used to do like pictures on the tickets. Like, I never went to the Sabres playoff game, but my dad had went to a few, and there's pictures, like, on it. It's got, like, Ryan Miller in there and playing goalie or whatever. Or, like, depending on, like, what the game was or who they were playing against, they have a picture from earlier in the year against that team. Like,
yes.
And that,
yes.
that was really cool, too, because you got, like, the individuality of that.
I remember that. That's right. I remember then a lot of teams started going to that, which is they would show a picture of a player or a coach or something on their ticket. But yeah, that was a really cool way to kind of save those tickets from those particular games. And you could look back and say, oh yeah, and mine were always pretty much orange. I mean, that's what we could afford. I was a kid, and you'd go to a game, and the oranges were cool to go sit up top for like $7.
Those were like steep seats.
Yes.
Because I'd never made it into the odd either, because, I mean, that was before my time. But I always remember hearing stories about that where you're like standing on the wall, essentially.
You're looking straight down, right? It was pretty cool. So yeah, some good memories today. It's also the couple days ago... A few days ago, obviously, was, you know, New Year's Eve, was the anniversary of the Bills breaking the drought, the longest playoff drought in North American sports at the time, 17 years. The Bills go to Miami that weekend, and of course they win. And then in the locker room, you're waiting for, or outside we were, the media, waiting for the other games to finish. And of course we know what happened, Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd, and they score. And then there was the celebration in the locker room. You've seen videos. I posted some. Then getting on the plane, coming back, and all of those celebrations as well. Sean McDermott was asked about that. Now, I'll ask him again a memory or two about that as we get to him right now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here is the Bills head coach.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the West Her Hotline right now. Good morning, Coach. Happy Friday to you.
Morning, Sal. Happy Friday as well to you.
So we were just talking about some memories. A couple of them I want to bring up. You were asked the other day about the breaking the drought, the night of breaking the drought. You had a fantastic long answer, I think, that was really cool about, you know, that night and coming off the plane. One thing I wanted to ask you that wasn't asked on Wednesday was, do you remember being on the sidelines? I'm the sideline reporter, and I saw fans yelling to players the score of the games going on. Like, did you know that was happening during the game that night?
No, I didn't. Honestly, I had Matt Warzyk, my assistant, giving me the updates of the two games that were of importance to us. But I don't usually hear that. But that's pretty fascinating to hear at this point.
And what that was the other part of it, which was, were you staying in contact with what was going on in the other games? You kind of have to coach your game, but you certainly have to try to be cognizant of what's going on.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was definitely, you know, kind of balancing our game and also being aware of what was going on with those other two games. Just, if for nothing else, you know, how we were needing to handle our game, maybe,
sure.
But also just to be out in front of it for when our game ended, as to how, you know, I wanted to address the team. And it was a pretty interesting evening.
And then, let's go way back. 32 years ago today, Coach, the Buffalo Bills had, at the time, the largest comeback in NFL history. I still believe it's the greatest comeback in NFL history based on the stakes of being a wild card game. And I know you weren't attached with the Buffalo Bills at the time. Do you remember that, though? You and I are about the same age. Do you remember that particular weekend and that comeback or anything around it?
I do. I was growing up then and a fan of football, and then in this case, watched quite a bit of that game and watched that whole thing unfold. And pretty cool now to be a part of it and attached to this organization.
Yeah, very cool for sure. There's only 80,000 people that were allowed to be there, Sean, but we hear from 800,000 people who say we're there. So, you know, everybody says that they were at the game. All right, let's get into your game here against the New England Patriots on Sunday. Let's get, first of all, to our Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Is there anyone you know, injury related or otherwise, that won't be playing on Sunday?
Terrell Bernard will not play. Ruled him out somewhat earlier in the week. He'll practice a little bit today in a limited fashion. Curtis Samuel, DeMar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, Taylor Rapp, they will all be limited today. Most of those guys are expected to play. We'll see on Curtis. He'll probably be listed as questionable at the end of the day today.
On Terrell, Coach, how do you feel about his progress? Obviously, you have a bigger picture in mind for next week with him to be able to be available for your first playoff game. How do you feel about that situation?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Honestly, the same question I asked our trainer yesterday afternoon, and he feels good about it. And so because of that, I feel good about it. I think TB is going to be ready to go at this point for next week.
We did talk about, and you've acknowledged, that Josh Allen will start in this game. He will be out there for a very limited amount of snaps because he will obviously extend his starting streak. What about the starting offensive line? Do you have a plan there? Anything you'd like to reveal? I mean, if Josh is out there, are they going to be out there? How will all this work? You only have certain numbers, obviously, which get a little bit tricky how you need to play this.
Yeah, I mean, our starting O-line is not – they're going to be dressed, most of them, but they will not be out there, ideally. It'll be a lot of those guys who've been busting their butts to, as backups all year long, and so we're going to give them an opportunity to perform and see what they can do.
And then you talked about some of those guys getting a shot. This is a really interesting week for these guys, right? Can you take us into some of the guys who don't normally get a chance to play, who are going to get some more extended time, and what those conversations are like with them, and obviously from a team aspect to win the game, but also, hey, putting your best foot forward on film going forward for this organization or their careers?
I mean, there's a lot of – it's an interesting week. It really is. And it seems like every year when you're in this type of situation, it gets even more interesting, and things you're trying to balance, things you're trying to deal with. And number one, we want to win the game. Number two, and then beyond that, there's a lot of things that come into play. There's some guys with certain incentives that come up, and it seems like that's becoming more and more relevant year to year. And then you've got guys who you want to look at. You'd love to bring – practice squad guys up as many as possible, but you're only allocated two. So there's a lot of you try your best to make everyone happy and try and at the same time keep things in proper order here in terms of what's important. So It's an interesting week, no doubt.
And then one thing that it seems is important to the guys on offense because they're embracing this is maybe possibly breaking the record of having 14 different players catch a touchdown pass. I find it fascinating how much they've really kind of leaned into this, and they really believe this is a cool team, you know, record if they can get a chance to break it. From your perspective, watching that unfold, how cool is that?
Oh, it's whenever you can, I mean, these records are built over a long, long course of time. And so it is just, it's special to watch when you get a chance or one of your players or your team, or in this case, an offense gets a chance to break a record that's been built over many, many years. And, you know, Jimbo's got a chance to break a record.
Yes.
In this case, the record you're talking about already with the touchdown catches and, you know, I hope we get a chance to do all that. Certainly, again, we want to win the game and keep players healthy. But that would be a great added benefit if we can do some of those things, and a real special moment for our team.
Sean, what did you learn about the Patriots when you played them 2 weeks ago?
Well, I think they're doing a good job. You know, they're somewhat I'll call it a transition year, and those years are difficult. A lot of challenges. You're trying to get things figured out, who you are, what you have, what you don't have, what you need for the future. And I think Coach Mayo has done a really good job of, it seems like, steadying the ship. And it's not easy, of course, when you replace a Hall of Famer like Coach Belichick and what he's been able to accomplish. You know, being the next guy in is not easy. And so I think they've done a good job. It appears they have a good quarterback for their future, and been very impressed with some of the games that they've played overall this season.
Yeah, and on the quarterback, Drake May, he impressed me a couple of weeks ago. What do you see from the young quarterback and his growth over the film that you've watched from him, you know, maybe through the second half of the year?
He's got size. He's got arm talent, accurate, seems to understand, you know, what the defense are that are being thrown at him, which happens quite frequently to a young quarterback. A lot of coordinators try and put a lot of defenses or multiple looks in front of a young quarterback. And I think he knows where to go with the ball, which is sometimes, you know, quite a bit of the battle when you're young and new in the league here.
And finally, Coach, I want to just ask you about the Pro Bowl. You guys had quite a few guys named as alternates. Only two made the team, Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins, but we'll give those guys their props here. Connor McGovern, James Cook, DeMar Hamlin, Terrell Bernard, Reggie Gilliam, Ed Oliver, Spencer Brown, and Dalton Kincaid. I would think from all of those guys, you know, there's other guys who everybody feels maybe, you know, should make it. But the one name that keeps coming up from Bills fans is Christian Benford. So I'd like to ask you a little bit about what you've seen from his growth and Christian Benford, the season that he's put together to help your defense.
Well, I think a lot of our players, Christian being one of them, deserved recognition that they didn't get. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. We all know that it's not just about one thing. There's other things that come into play. And at the end of the day, we've talked about it as a team. And, you know, look, it's some of us need to use it as motivation moving forward. And I think Shavers is a great example in a different way, but a similar connected way of, hey, you go back to work, you continue to work on your craft, you have great routines, you control your process, and that's all you can do, because that's, at the end of the day, you don't have a vote, and so you're kind of subject to, sometimes it's a PR game out there as well. So that is what it is, and it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of guys that do get recognized, and rightfully so, but there are some guys I feel like on our team that deserve more than they got.
And Sean, before I let you go, I just got the alert. Mike White has been signed from the practice squad. I asked you about this the other day, and you said it might be difficult, and you don't necessarily want to have Josh have to, you know, be the backup. But it appears, though, that Mike White will have a chance, obviously, to suit up and maybe play in this game.
Right. That's the plan. You know, he'll be suited up, and hopefully we get a chance to get him in the game. And I'm anxious and excited to look at Mike. He's done a phenomenal job with us, and I'm hoping that comes to fruition on Sunday afternoon there.
Safe travels to New England, and of course, we'll talk to you next week before your playoff game. Good luck on Sunday, Coach.
Sounds great. Happy New Year to everyone, and we'll see you there.
All right, thank you. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. All right, very good. How about that? I kept him a couple minutes long, and I'm glad I did, because the alert just came over. The Bills have signed quarterback Mike White from the practice squad, and they've released linebacker Nicholas Morrow. So that means Mike White doesn't need to be elevated. He's on the active roster. Here's the tricky part. if you want to use that roster spot for somebody else after this game, you got to release Mike White and he's got to go through waivers. I don't know if any other team would really pick him up because only teams really in the playoffs, I think. I don't know. I have to think about how that is. Either way, let's just turn it to what it is here. This is Mike White getting an opportunity to be the backup quarterback to Mitch Trubisky, who actually will be the backup to Josh Allen, who will start but only play a few snaps, whatever those amount of snaps are. So Allen, he'll play whatever snaps. He'll get out of there very quickly. It'll be Mitch Trubisky, and then the plan is for Mike White to get a little bit of time. Good for him. So now the Bills still have two elevations they can make from the practice squad for this game. I'm still fascinated about who that could be. I mean, if guys, he said he thinks Curtis Samuel, we'll see where he go, what they can do with him, if he's going to play. That's KJ Hamler, maybe, because Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil have already been elevated three times, so they can't be elevated again. If I understand the rules correctly, I don't think things change week 18. Folks, honestly, you could find out at 4 p.m. tomorrow that they elevated Jalen Virgil, and you're going to go sell. You told me otherwise. Look, these things get confusing sometimes. The way I understand the rules, they cannot be elevated again, Shavers, Virgil, or Zach Davidson, because they've already been elevated three times. I know a lot of you would like Frank Gore Jr. Maybe that comes into play now. But if you're going to play and not start, looks like the offensive line is going to not play. That's kind of what Sean said there, even with Josh out there. You're probably going to need one more lineman. That, to me, is Will Clapp. Maybe it's Richard Garage. Maybe it's Mike Edwards, the lineman, not the safety, who's not on the team anymore. Good, interesting stuff there that kind of we can walk through. All right. Speaking of walking through, thanks a lot to Sean McDermott for joining us here on a Friday, the final regular season radio session with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Next week, we will talk about who the Bills are playing and who will that be. Well, listen, let's look at the schedule here and what this looks like going into week number 18. So tomorrow, I think the ideal situation for everybody, if you're a Bills fan, is Browns totally upset the Ravens. It's not going to happen, but that's the ideal situations. Look, it's happened before with backups. Now, I could say 2004, but the Steelers backups were still really good. Willie Parker, right? I mean, yes. And James Harrison. They beat the Bills when the Bills needed to win. This is not the same situation with the Browns and Ravens, but you never know what can happen. Bailey Zappe makes a couple big-time throws. You know, they focus on shutting Derrick Henry down. I don't know. That'd be ideal. It's not going to happen. But if that were to happen, the Ravens then would then suddenly have to be watching the Steelers, who would play for the NFC North against the Cincinnati Bengals. Here is the situation, everybody, okay? If the Denver Broncos win Sunday, they're playing at 4:25 p.m. at home against Kansas City. If they win, the Bills play the Broncos. Simple as that, next week. If the Broncos lose and the Miami Dolphins win, they're the next team up. They leap them, bam, they're playing the Bills next Sunday, the Dolphins. If the Broncos and the Dolphins lose, then we retro back to what happens tomorrow, because the game will be played first, with the Bengals and Steelers. Do the Bengals win that game? So, Broncos win, they're in Buffalo. Broncos lose, Bengals, Dolphins win, they're in Buffalo. Broncos and Dolphins lose, Bengals win, they're in Buffalo. All three lose, it's the Broncos. Got it? I hope so. I think the best matchup for the Bills is the Denver Broncos. That said, I'm looking at some stuff last night. They have a good defense. They have a lot of sacks. They get after the quarterback. I think the biggest reason why I would say it's still the best matchup, it is a rookie quarterback. They don't score a ton of points. They have to grind a little bit. They do make a few big plays. I think that's the best matchup for the Bills defense to hold a team in check. Might not be the best matchup for the Bills offense. That would be Cincinnati. But then you got to worry about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and that whole group and what they're doing. But I think Chase Brown is questionable to play. I don't know if he's going to play in this game, Josh. I think he's questionable for the Bengals tomorrow night. How about the Steelers, the situation they're in? Listen, obviously they would love to win the division. That would require the Ravens to lose, right? I don't think that's going to happen. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're in a good spot right now as the 5 seed because you go to Houston wildcard weekend. If you lose, the Chargers could jump you and then you could go to Baltimore. There are people who would think maybe Pittsburgh wants that. They know Baltimore. I don't know. I'd still rather play Houston. Here's a question for you, though. If you're a Ravens fan, let's end the segment with this, Josh. If you're a Ravens fan, who would you rather play in the first round? The Steelers or the Chargers? From the outside looking in, you would probably say Chargers. But if you're a Ravens fan, I don't think you...
Man, that's tough. Because the Steelers...
I mean, from the outside looking in, you might say you'd rather play the Steelers. But if you're a Ravens fan, you've had trouble with this team. They're a division team.
Right.
I don't know if you want to play them.
Yeah, but the Chargers, though, they got something about them. Like,
I know.
Jim Harbaugh looks pretty good, and he seems to have been turning that team around. And
isn't it the same argument here of would you rather play the Dolphins or... Like, the Dolphins might not be that good, but they're still the Dolphins in your division, and you know them. I don't want the Bills to see them.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit different because, like, the Steelers at least have had, like, some sustained success this season, because the Dolphins, it's been very up and down, up and down. You don't know what you're going to get every Sunday. So that may make it more volatile, but the Steelers, it's more consistency, and that kind of would worry me more. But, again, I think Herbert has more chance to be explosive in that offense with the Rams this year. So if I'm the Ravens, I'd pick the Steelers.
Interesting. I texted Jeremy Kahn of our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore. I asked him this question. I said, who would Ravens fans rather face? He said, I think the Chargers, because division games are always crazy. Isn't that funny?
It's understandable, amazing. But it's like, I don't know.
The ideal for the Bills would be the Ravens lose. They go down to the 5. Then you're avoiding them totally in round 2. They win.
But then they would get the Texans, right?
Then the Steelers, then they would get the Texans. Who cares? Then they got to go to Kansas City and not come here.
That's true.
In
round two. You're right. I'm just thinking, like, then they basically get, like,
what? Then you have Baltimore, Kansas City in round 2, which is one of those teams is losing, right? So, anyway, real quickly, NFC, you know what you're going to have in the NFC? You're going to have probably two teams with lesser records going, hosting two teams with a lot of wins, like 13, 14 wins. 11, 12 wins, 12, 13 wins, something like that, whatever it is. Somebody with 14 wins is going on the road to possibly 9-8 team, at best 10-7. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Patrick Hammer joins us next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
All right, Patrick Hammer joins us right now on the Wester Hotline, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Hope you had a fantastic New Year. There you are. Sorry, I didn't click you on. Hope you had a fantastic New Year, buddy.
I did. It was kind of mellow, but so far, we rang in the New Year merrily, for sure.
Are you like me? I think we talked about this last week. You in bed early? What did you do this week? What did you do?
Again, it was just the idea of going hard and late. And when I say hard, I meant late. but lasting until about, 9:30, 10, because, like, I had to work the next day.
Yeah.
And, in the past, that hasn't slowed me down. But this year, it sure did. So it was pretty tame.
I just want to do some house cleaning here as you're on. We are also reading now that the Dolphins have said that Tua Tagovailoa is unlikely to play Sunday against the Jets, just so everybody knows, because obviously that could impact playoff scenarios with the Bills. If the Broncos lose, then the next team in line would be the Dolphins. And if they're playing a game without Tua, that might diminish their chances a little bit. But Snoop Huntley, who started last week, he obviously won against the Browns. He would start this week against the New York Jets. So we'll stay on top of all this stuff, as well as the weather that's going to happen not only this week, but next week. Let's start with this week. I will tell you, when the schedule comes out every year, I really love going to New England and even Providence, where we stay oftentimes this time of year. The holiday season, especially around Christmas, not even as much New Year's, it's a really, like, fantastic area to visit this time of year. So as long as the weather is generally, if it's cold, that's fine, but no precipitation and all that. It's just, there's a lot to do, and it's really cool.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those years. I mean, it looks very quiet, cool, Temperatures in the 30s, but no real weather impacts to deal with. So if you are heading there, yeah, this is not going to be a weather game. This is going to be a quiet game, and it looks like if anything, there will be a little bit of a breeze to contend with, but no no rain or snow, despite, you know, some of the active weather that you're going to be hearing about in the coming days nearby. There's actually kind of a beefy winter storm that's going to be approaching the East Coast over the weekend, but it should stay south of the area. So all in all, it's looking pretty good for football.
I don't know. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you could maybe look in a little bit. Tomorrow, you have a couple of really interesting games, especially in Baltimore. Is that bad weather in Baltimore tomorrow? I thought somebody told me that, but I'm not really sure. That game starts at 4:30 p.m. between the Browns and Ravens.
Yeah, the I just want to double check because a lot of our focus has been on the storm that's going to be moving basically across the country Saturday into Sunday that will affect places like Kansas City.
Okay,
pretty hard actually.
Really,
but for tomorrow, I do not see any weather impact in Baltimore. And again, Kansas City plays.
Okay, so Kansas City, let's tell me about this. So Kansas City plays Sunday at 4:25 in Denver, though, in Denver.
Oh, in Denver, okay. It will be cold. There will be some snow showers around. But this this larger high-impact storm will be east of there.
Okay.
So it shouldn't have too much of an impact on that game in Denver.
Will it have an impact on the Dolphins at Jets game at 4:25 p.m.?
On Sunday,
yes.
The answer is no. It should. It should be south of there and arrives in the East Coast on Monday. So I think weather should be okay there, too.
All right, what are we looking at here next week, into the week? And then, of course, very important, we do not know the date of the Bills' first wild card game. It will either be Saturday or Sunday next week. It's not going to be Monday night, folks. The NFL puts a 4-5 matchup there. That's not the Bills. They do that on purpose. Okay. And the reason is, Pat, to educate everybody about this, the reason why they only put a 4-5 matchup on Monday night is because that game won't have like an impact on other teams. Like, is you know who you're playing. You know what I mean? Like that game, the winner of that game knows who they're playing, and the team that already won knows they're playing the winner of that game. It doesn't impact like three teams. So since you're already late in the week, they don't want to do that to anybody. So the Bills won't play Monday night. They'll either play Saturday or Sunday against either Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati.
And isn't it most likely going to be Sunday? I mean, just given that it's the Bills and they're going to want to add a better, the prime time slot.
Do you want my take on it? Here's my prediction, okay?
What's that?
If it's the Broncos, they're playing Sunday at 1 p.m. This is my prediction. If it's the Bengals, I think it's either Saturday night or Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because it's Joe Burrow and Josh Allen.
And does that determine who covers it? Is it a Nance? Like, I understand that the CBS and the Nance number one and the number one broadcast team is likely going to do the Bills game, but I guess it depends on who they're playing. Right?
So none of that is determined. What's going to happen is next week for the playoffs, wild card games, there's going to be, hold on. I think so. Prime has a game, I believe, or Netflix. It's like there's all different ways. Here we go. I got it right here. All right, so let's get to this. The wild card would be. Looks like. All three networks are in play. Prime, CBS, or Fox could have any of these games. So there's not a predetermined who's getting Saturday, who's getting Sunday time slot. That will be determined on the actual schedule.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I have a buddy who works for CBS, and he was kind of uncertain, so that confirms that and where they're going for their wild card coverage. So I'm just glad it's not Monday. That was a conversation in the newsroom today. Like, it's a Monday night.
Tell them Sal Capaccio told you it's not going to happen Monday night because they do not put they only put 4-5 matchup, the 4 versus 5 on Monday night.
Anytime your name is brought up in the newsroom, people listen. So I will definitely float that tab for sure.
Well, tell Scott and Mary else I said hi. There you go.
I will. All right. And by the way, in looking ahead, to next week, a cold weather pattern is going to unfold for the rest of this weekend and into next week. There could be something brewing weather-wise by next weekend, but I can't hang my hat on any direct forecast at this point. I just know that cold is pretty much a given, but will we have snow? Will there be a storm nearby? It's a really chaotic weather pattern over the next 7 to 10 days. Cold for sure, but what kind of precipitation, if any, is still it's a tough call at this point. But we should prepare for it just in case.
All right, so going to be active. Is this like extending out? You've talked about this a little bit, because if they do win, they will have another game the following weekend, either Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, this is kind of the first, 2 to 3 weeks of January have looked cold for a while, and that's going to continue. Mm-hmm. There was a stronger signal for heavier lake effect snow around here. If you've noticed, we have lake effect snow warnings, in place in Western New York, but it's kind of in the traditional spots, ski country. That's where, a foot of snow has already fallen at Ellicottville in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And it looks like lake effect snows over the coming days will be kind of focused south of Buffalo, even though we'll get some here today a little bit. But as we head into next week and beyond, it does appear that cold versus mild will win out. And whenever that's in place and you've got a lake that's still at, 39 degrees or 40 degrees, mm-hmm. No signs of it freezing, that opens the window for a chance of some snow. And we all know what happened last year with playoff football, and, can't ignore that moving forward.
And that game was scheduled last year, Sunday at 1 p.m., and it was moved to Monday.
Yes.
And I still believe, that obviously hurt the Bills playing the next week because they had a shorter week, had some guys injured like Terrell Bernard, who had a less day to recover. So all of that, man, just frustrates you when you think back on all of that. You know what I mean? All right, listen.
The most frustrating game to watch with all the injuries. My goodness. I mean, you were there on the field. I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right. So real quickly here, as we wrap up. At home here this weekend, you just told me about Foxborough this weekend, but at home here, if you're just bumping around at home, what's the weekend look like for people going out?
Yeah, so tomorrow will be kind of wintry, not a lot of snow, but there will be some snow showers around. You get these little streamers that come off, whether it's Lake Huron or Lake Erie or Lake Ontario. And with that snow will come some wind. So it's going to be kind of a breezy to windy day tomorrow. It'll be chilly, temperatures in the 20s. But it won't be a lot of snow. It'll be manageable. So nothing crippling, but certainly a very typical January feel to Western New York, especially tomorrow. Sunday, maybe a little less snow. If you're up towards Lake Ontario, there may be a little more snow up there on Sunday coming off the lake there. But it's kind of a wintry week, but nothing too impactful. I will say for the ski business and for snowmobiling, this is really good stuff. They've needed some good, the years have been rather lean snow-wise in ski country. So getting the kind of snow they're getting, that's good for the ski industry and snowmobiling and all that. And there's going to be snow both days for those areas.
And that is Hammer Time for this week, everybody. Thank you very much, Patrick Hammer. Have a great weekend, and very much looking forward to talking to you next week. And we'll find out that schedule. And Friday, we'll still do our normal thing, getting ready for either Saturday or Sunday.
Sounds good, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Patrick Hammer, WGRZ, TV2 chief meteorologist. Yeah, listen, look, could the NFL like at any moment say, no, we want this other game? Sure, they could do that to a Monday night. But since this whole Monday night wild card thing started a few years ago, it's always been a 4-5 matchup each of the last 3 years. And the reason is because the 4-5 matchup has the least amount of impact on every other team. All the other games would actually throw, you could be watching the game if it's a 2-7, going, well, who are we going to play? We got to wait to see who wins this. It could be the team that just played already on Sunday. It could be this team. That's not the case. A 4-5 matchup, they know who they're playing if they win, and the team that's already through will know they're playing the winner of that game. That's why you put the 4-5 matchup on Monday night, because it's not fair that late in the week and weekend for teams that not know who they're playing yet. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the schedule. And what else? Oh, yeah. Got a couple of real quick thoughts on like these games being played, on who it means what for, and how teams are approaching it. And even on the Eagles, if I can get to that with Saquon Barkley. We'll do that when we come back on WGR. Thank God we are far cry from where we were 2016 when Bills literally sat Tyrod Taylor because he had an injury incentive, like an injury guarantee. Didn't want him to get hurt, so they sat him the last. That was Rex, so Rex got fired that week. Same thing happened to another team this week, this year. Somebody did that, right? They I can't remember. Either way, the point is, it's totally the opposite now. Sean McDermott said on the radio here a little while ago, there's some guys with incentives, and, you know, if they reach certain benchmarks. And the Bills under this regime have always been kind of embracing that. Yeah, go get, like, we want you to get your incentive. We want you to hit that benchmark. And yeah, it costs money to the team, but it's great for the player. And I think that creates, you know, guys understanding that this team is about, the organization isn't trying to hurt me, they're trying to help me. So that's pretty cool. So you have a few things going on this weekend. James Cook, his touchdowns. You got the 14th possible player to receive a touchdown from the Bills. And how about in Philadelphia? You have Saquon Barkley. He's already achieved 2,000 yards. He is 101 yards shy of breaking Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season record. Yes, I know Dickerson did it in 16 games. Well, guess what? Dickerson broke OJ's record, and OJ had done it in 14 games. It's still the record. It doesn't matter how many games. It's still an amazing accomplishment that Barkley would have a chance for, but he's not going to play. Now, my suspicion is if Barkley needed like 21 yards, he probably would play. 101 yards is a lot to keep your number one running back out there when you have to play the following week. This is not like they have a bye situation in Philly. So I understand and I get it. And if you're in Philadelphia, I think it would be kind of playing with fire a little bit. You'd love for him to get the record, but that means you'd probably have to keep your entire offensive line out there as well. I just think it's tricky for the Eagles. I understand why they're not playing Saquon. My guess is, again, if he didn't need that many yards, you'd see Saquon playing, but 101 yards. You'd have to keep him in there for a while. You'd have to keep your O-line in there for a while. I just don't think that that's something they want to do, and I get why they don't want to. They have to play next week. They're not getting a bye, just like the Bills. They're in the same situation. But the Bills, though, obviously they know they're locked up into their spot. Josh Allen's going to start. He's going to come out. Mitch Trubisky will come in, and then you'll probably see Mike White, as Sean McDermott indicated. I've seen a lot of people and heard a lot of people talk about how the Bills should want to lose this game, not to give the Patriots the number one overall pick. Heck with that, man. No, these guys, what did Sean say? They worked their tails off. You're talking about, well, you know, Mitch Trubisky has worked his whole year to be in this position to start a game. And guys that, you know, Frank Gore Jr., let's say he gets a call up. Let's say Ray Davis, you know, plays. What about, you know, guys in Jamarcus Ingram getting a chance to play? I mean, these guys work all year. You can't do that to them. So, no, that's not the thought. The thought is you go and you win the game. You score a lot of points. You feel good about yourself. You put a lot of good stuff on film, and you help this team, and everybody eats mentality again like that, right? And I know the Patriots would be benefited by losing themselves. I don't think Gerard Mayo is going to try to do that, but, you know, they might not field their most, you know, their best personnel, I guess, in that regard. All right. Sabres Live up next, N1 Bills Live. Show up in the Bulldog after that. We have the Bills game for you at 1 p.m. here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network and WGR. Have a great weekend, everybody.